when I you know, sold and I took a year off, and I had the blessing to spend time with my sons, and but I kept seeing these mistakes and patterns, and I go, there had to be some reason. Why do businesses keep failing? But it all came down to, I found a study that UPS did, and that they figured out and found the one thing that could change the odds for business owners by 70%, that 50%, it literally changed the odds by 70%. And you know what it is? It was access to wisdom and knowledge.
I'm super excited. Eric, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, man. Thanks, Trevin. And heck, you got me excited just sitting here, man. I'm really fired up.
I always do that, man. I got to get you all jacked up on Mountain Dew, you know? So my first question I have for you, Eric, because I want to dive into this, because I love what you're doing. We got to speak behind stage, and you know, I think that there's a lot of synergy in what we do. And so the first thing I want to get to the audience to know is, in your bio, you talked about becoming, or your journey of being, a recovering CPA, okay, to now becoming a tech entrepreneur. Now, that's kind of like, first of all, explain recovering CPA, and then tell us, like, how did you get into tech? What inspired you to do this transition? And, you know, what's going on here?
Oh, man. Well, you know, again, thanks for having me on the show today. But, you know, really, the recovering CPA is this, I'm kind of on this crusade to rebrand CPAs, because of the fact that we do so much. CPAs do so much more than the traditional tax and audit and what people brand you. And the CPAs are really, it's a foundation. But it, you know, we always have this kind of, you're using a 10 key and you got the green shade, this persona. And so what I'm trying to rehabilitate, you know, my fellow CPAs in the world out there. And, you know, but, you know, I had some tough times out there. I got strung out on debits and credits and did too many reconciliations. It was a, you know, sad part of my history there, but I recovered. And, you know, and the love of technology, back when, you know, for those who can't see, I've got gray hair and I've been around a while. And I was around at the beginning of the .com phase. And I love technology. And it was always, I worked at Ernst & Young in their entrepreneurial services group when I graduated. And I was that geeky little tech guy running around going, and this is back early 90s, of going, Why are we pushing all this paper around? Why don't we have this thing? You know, there's things called document scanners. And the partners looked at me like I asked them, we're going to fly to Mars. And ever since then, it was always, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be some method of not having technology replace it. It's just have technology do the things that we don't like.
Absolutely.
Doing.
And you just reminded me, you just reminded me, hold on, I don't mean to cut you off, but you just reminded me of, like, so my background was the auto industry before I got in financial services. And so the auto industry, you know, they were pretty forward, I would actually say, in some ways, with technology. So, you know, things were pretty easy. And then when I got to financial services, man, these applications that were like a phone book. Okay. And just the paper. And I'm like, this is insanity. I remember going, like, what are we doing here? This is insanity. And so it was just so frustrating for me, you know, to have to go through that process. I was like, this is like going back in the day. Let's get a chisel and a hammer and do business that way then. Let's just go crazy with it. It's stupid. Anyway, so you reminded me of that.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happens is, you know, I was Ernst & Young, got that entrepreneurial flair, left and started my first business. And that first business, I realized that I had to use technology. It was a wheel distribution to car dealerships. We at one point had 300 car dealerships throughout Texas and New Mexico and Louisiana, Oklahoma. And I was having to drag, you know, networking. You know, this isn't just analytics. I was literally dragging cable across warehouses to wire up networks ground up from how to utilize technology in changing the odds for business. And I learned so many lessons on cash flow and all these other things. But eventually what happened was just I had such a love of tech, and that was the emerging .com. And so I started working for some of the bigger technology companies. One point there was one where I was working with the Fortune 500 companies. I went from little companies, and I was in awe. I was working at ExxonMobil at the time doing technology. And I was always in awe of, holy cow, this is at that time, the single largest company in the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the big leagues. This is the show. And what I realized when I got there, I said, man, they got their act together. I mean, these guys, man, if they are billions of dollars, they know how to do stuff. Well, what I figured out, and it was just eye-opening to me, maybe I was naive, is that they got the same problems as everybody else. They just got more zeros behind it. And
a lot of times too, some of these bigger companies, you know, just depending on how long they've been around, you know, it's like, in order to have change within a big company like that, it's like moving a giant ship. So like, it's just, it's a lot harder to get anything done to make some change. Talk to me about that. So how did you get in there and shake things up a little bit with a big company like that?
Well, what happened was, it was just things that, what I began to realize at these big companies, and you're seeing evidence of it now, this was years ago, but they were so big and slow and moving things that what happened was you just kind of had to take these incremental changes. You know, when I asked about doing spend aggregation and some other stuff, it was such a gigantic task. Like, because here's what happened, big companies, nobody's a risk taker. Because guess what? I get paid a lot of money, and you're not rewarded for risk taking. Because if I step out and I mess up, and if I learn a hard lesson, they don't go, hey, good job, man. We innovated, we learned something, dust yourself off. Let's do this again. They go, thank you very much. And you need to be working for somebody else. And so what I learned at those big companies, and now you're seeing evidence now, is that companies, if you look at the history of what was on Fortune 500 company list 10 years ago, I think like 50% of those companies are gone.
Yeah. And, you know, like one of my very first jobs was Sears.
Yeah.
You remember Sears?
Yeah.
Gone. Like that was a perfect example. I remember going back, you know, years and years and years later and going, oh my gosh, they're still using the exact same computer systems and just like ancient stuff. Like I'm talking like ancient stuff. And I'm like, you didn't change at all. Blockbuster, same thing. You just didn't adapt. And it's like, if you don't adapt, you're gonna die. Like you're gonna go out of business, especially now. Okay, well, let me ask you that question.
Go ahead. You had a good point on that. And I always tell people about this, and this kind of feeds into this codifying wisdom concept, because you and me are kind of that same age of Sears. Now, remember Sears, what the fundamental business concept that Sears put together was, it aggregated a bunch of, you know, remember when that Sears catalog showed up and you'd flip through and you could see all these products that you could buy from a single source that you could look at and you could flip through and see, and the pricing was great. I could buy everything from
if you buy a new home or whatever. It's like, you know, you're going to get your couch, you're going to get your bed, you're going to get your TV, your washer and your dryer, you're going to get everything that you need for your home, and then clothes too and whatever. Like it was like the one-stop shop for everything you needed.
Now fast forward to today and the use of technology. Name me another company right now that aggregates a bunch of product from a bunch of different people. They make it real easy to buy, i.e. one click, and everybody's talking about that they're getting too big, because this happened a long time ago in Sears, and they said they were getting too concentrated, and Congress was saying, hey, we better break them up. Guess what's happening today with a very large internet company with a lot of power and concentration on managing tiny suppliers, big suppliers, copying suppliers. These all run in cycles and patterns, but they use technology. You know, where Amazon came out of nowhere is that they kept investing in that tech, and now they have technology makes it is what changed that business model. Sears out of business, now steps in Amazon. Same business.
Well, concept. And shout out to Walmart for a second. Let's stop. Yeah. Shout out to Walmart because Walmart saw what was happening, right? And said, okay, we need to shift too. And if you look at it, it's like, wow, what Walmart's done is amazing. You know, I mean, they completely shifted, right? But they have both. They've got your retail and they've got your online, right? So they're crushing, you know what I mean? So I thought that was amazing. So, I mean, imagine Blockbuster still having some retail, maybe not as much, but imagine them still having retail, but also being online, and they should be a streaming channel. Imagine if they had both, because I got to tell you, I know you may think I'm crazy, but I actually enjoyed walking in there and grabbing a movie.
Oh man, that was exciting. And you were hoping they had a new release and you go in there and oh, they got it, grab it. You'd be waiting by the front line, seeing somebody turn it in. But
yeah, imagine if they had both, right? Like, but they just didn't adapt. So they went completely, you know, they should be a streaming channel. Like you should be go on your TV and you should go Blockbuster. Like, why not?
and you know what happened was, is that, and you're seeing it now, and hopefully the bigger companies are recognizing the innovation that 10 years ago, talking about disrupting industries, Uber, you know, taxi companies, you're seeing these, Airbnb, you're seeing these companies with the leverage of technology totally changing business models. And they're not, these aren't like rocket science kind of business models. They just learn how to, hey, nobody enjoyed the experience of using a cab. Well, let's create this, utilize, because Uber wouldn't exist without technology. Airbnb wouldn't exist without technology. And these are the kind of things that disrupt, you know, total industries. And the big companies, because nobody's a risk taker. Nobody wants to. And so the ones that do, like a Walmart, the visionary, the, hey, we got an edge here. That's what's making a difference. And that's the kind of thing that the small guys, the people are starting out, that's the kind of stuff that they need help with. That, because that, you know, God bless the entrepreneurs of the world, and myself included, because man, you got to have a family that's willing to support you, because you're out there and they forget to tell you in business school when you're going to all these, you know, case studies and all that, they kind of forget to tell you the horror story of, oh, by the way, you're the last to get paid. You know, you get to pay everybody else. And if there's anything left, you get to keep some of it.
Some of it.
Yeah. Some of it.
Yeah. Because you're going to reinvest the rest in, you know, into your business, right?
Yeah.
So and it's
everything and what happens nowadays, especially in tech, but in other small businesses, now the big boys, they don't innovate anymore. They let the small entrepreneur tech company do it. Take all the risk and they just come in. What they have is what the bigger companies have is more resources than the little guy. So they let you be the risk taker, innovate. And then they come in and buy you up and incorporate it into their technology and their stack. So the real risk takers, the people out there that are affecting jobs and affecting families and affecting communities, it's been proven over and over again, it's that small business owner. It's that small business owner that said, hey, I'm going to offer something and I'm going to create some jobs and you know, create some income for other families. And then next thing you know, and there's a little bit left and you start investing. And next thing you know, you build a little company and it gets bigger and bigger. But the percentage, how long have you heard this, that 50% of the businesses that start today are going to fail in the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, starting a business, there's a high, you know, a high failure rate. Right. So I don't know exactly what that rate is. Is it 50%? Is that what it is?
Yeah, but it's consistent depending on what you look at. And it's been that way for decades.
Here's something that always blew my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially where I live, I'm in Dallas, Texas. And so you've got restaurants like crazy, right? Like we got food on lock, right? So we got all these restaurants and it's so competitive, and I'm like, and the failure rate in restaurants is so high that I'm like, okay, why would anyone do that? Like, if you know, like, hey, you got about a 90% chance you're going to fail in the first 3 years. You got about a 90%. Like, why would you choose that industry to go into? Like, why that one? But people do it all the time. Like, and they're everywhere.
Because you know what? There's people that go, you know what? 10% make it. 10%. That's just the beauty of America, is that they go, hey, I can do it. I can change the odds. It can be different.
There's got to be like a super, super high, like the people that make it. Okay, once you get into the green, right? Because you start off in the red because you're paying for all this equipment and everything else. I'm sure you're in the red for probably 3 to 5 years, and once you get to the green, it's got to be really green. Otherwise, why are people doing it? It's got to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like they better have a super, super high profit margin for them to make it worth that high risk in the first 3 to 5 years, right?
Well, and that kind of gets into this concept. Okay, let's use that restaurant concept for a minute. Okay, usually business owner goes, hey, I can create great food, so I'm going to open up a restaurant. Well, what happens a lot of times, guess what? I never opened a restaurant before. And so what it did, you study these stages. At Harvard Business School has this 5 stages of business growth. And I've experienced and failed multiple stages of it. But what happened was, is that restaurant entrepreneur, guess what? They don't know. The biggest thing about business owners, myself included, was that I didn't know what I didn't know. And it was always that I'm working harder. And so the answer, a lot of times, if I didn't know what I didn't know, the answer is, well, I'll just pour in more hours, more time to overcome this learning gap that I don't know. And so I'll put more time in. And then what happens is I make mistakes. I learn lessons. And then hopefully either I've got enough time or enough money to overcome, to find my little product market fit. And before I run out of money or run out of time. And so there's this race against getting something where I finally find that recipe that people will stand in line in my restaurant, or people finally notice my restaurant. And then it's all a matter of timing and resources. And you hear all this, and this kind of set me. I was lucky enough to be part of a great team, and we built an international software company. And we sold that about 4 years ago. And I got to take a year off, because this was bugging me for years. Because what happened was, I'd sit in these CEO groups. And I was lucky to be part of a Christian CEO group here in Dallas called CEO Institute. And in that group, we'd have people from all walks, different industries. And we'd have great speakers. But what I'd see is that we kept repeating the same mistakes. And I'd be like, I wish somebody... Like, let me ask you, Trevor, in your career, how many business lessons did you learn the hard way that you wish somebody, like, if you could jump in the time machine and Trevor today could fly, go back like Marty McFly and go and bump into you and say, hey, don't do that.
It cost me lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money. Like, I was just talking to one of my mentees. I got a group of new agents and advisors that I'm mentoring right now, and I was just talking with one of them. I'm like, listen, like, I couldn't stress the fact that, like, hey, you need to do some work with us, okay? Meaning, like, bring your cases to us, let us show you, because I was like, you don't understand, you don't know what you don't know, and you're gonna make these mistakes. I've made some mistakes that have cost me so much money. And I was like, they ended up being blessings because I learned from them and changed what I was doing. And they ended up making me a lot of money, but you don't have to do that. I said, listen, there's this like formula here. Okay. So a fool doesn't learn from their mistakes. Okay. A smart man learns from their mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Okay. So do you want to be wise, smart, or a fool? Which one do you want to be? Well, right.
And like, let me add to that. And John Maxwell says, even the smarter one learns from other people's successes.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. I like that.
On top of that. Hold on. And one of the, and to your point, you know, when I you know, sold and I took a year off and I had the blessing to spend time with my sons, and but I kept seeing these mistakes and patterns, and I go, there had to be some reason. Why do businesses keep failing? You know, why do we start and keep repeating the same mistakes? Well, I studied and researched, and there's all these, you know, financial literacy, and you'll see marketing and all that. But it all came down to, I found a study that UPS did about 5 years ago, and that they figured out and found the one thing that could change the odds for business owners by 70%, that 50%, it literally changed the odds by 70%.
Wow.
And you know
what's that one thing? Yeah, what is it? What is it? What is it?
Yeah.
What's that one thing?
It was access to mentoring, which is basically access to wisdom and knowledge.
Oh, snap. All right. I got the agent that I'm mentoring right now. I'm going to be like, hey, did you hear that? This is going to take you. That's amazing. Okay. So you go from 50 to 70%.
Yeah. Instead of 50% failure of that 50%, they said the ones that had access to mentoring and wisdom and knowledge would change the odds of surviving past 5 years by 70%. There's no other one thing that would change it. And that, when I found that, I started, and here's the thing that, you know, kind of set me on this path. Then it was like, because here's what happens, as part of that CEO group, I got introduced to some phenomenally successful entrepreneurs, some of their, you know, billionaires, and some other great people. And when I started to realize the things I was doing, my little, you know, we had a 50 person tech company, you know, if decent size, but I thought, well, again, naive thinking, well, obviously this billionaire said, what I found is that there's a pattern of success that they followed. And here's the other thing, to your point, like you're trying to mentor and help people. There's so many good people out there that they go, hey, they would tell me, Eric, I've been blessed. I have more financial resources than I need. I just want to pay it forward. And I just want to share my knowledge and wisdom and experience to help other people. And that, you know, not to bounce around too much, but on that mentoring, you know, it made sense, because if you look at the growth cycle, so you always see this kind of flat, flat, flat and hockey stick. What happens is that there's experience gaps all along the way. And it's not because you don't work hard and really smart people. It's because, for example, 95% of the businesses start are people that produce a great product or service or great salespeople. Only about 3 or 4% actually have any financial literacy. And so what happens is they have these experience gaps. And what you try and do is that you try to plug them in with people you think know what's going on. So you guess what? You go hire your friend because they've sold cars before, or, you know, you sold this. And what happens all along the way, you're just trying to plug these gaps. And so what happened was, and then we figured out this, well, if you got mentoring, then there's somebody who's been there and you can listen to wise counsel, hopefully. Okay. Well, what I figured out was that now I'm talking to these successful people and I just want to share my knowledge, like you are. Hey, I just want to share my knowledge. I just want to help these people. But the challenge I ran into is, what's the answer? You know, what happens to all my friends that I talk to, and they would go, well, everybody told me write a book. Okay, I'm going to write a book. And they go write a book. And then the next thing I do is I go on the speaking tour and they go talk. I talk to people because it's all time bound. And the thing that it was frustrating was the fact that, I don't know about you, but here's what happens to me. I would listen to somebody speak. I would go read their book. I would get fired up. And I'd huddle the team in on Monday. I'd read it on a weekend and I'd huddle. And they got tired of my, you know, crazy ADD approach to management. And they would... And I go, all right, guys, we got this thing. This is the, we're going to implement the, you know, entrepreneurial blah 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 system. Awesome. Okay. So I go 8 o'clock, and by about 11 o'clock that day, guess what? Vendor, somebody didn't get a shipment. Supplier's not doing this. The tech's blowing up. Customers. Okay. How many of these books, I mean, for those people out there listening, how many business books do you have that are sitting on a shelf? I can show you a picture right now. I got about 20. They're sitting on a shelf right now that I have that I'm going to read, but I can't get to yet.
I'll pull a couple off right here. Here we go. I got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Hold on. Look at it. Look at that. Look at that. Keep coming. Okay.
And so that's where we said, wait a minute. If we're going to, you know, the whole mission we started was that somehow we got to figure out a way to change the odds for business owners so they have a greater chance to survive and thrive. So they don't have to make and repeat the same mistakes. Because what happened was, and when I started getting a chance to visit with all these entrepreneurs, the patterns of success were there. If you read book after book to book, you'll see patterns. But it doesn't scale. It doesn't, you don't have the ability a lot of times to go from book to actual execution. It's just, you got to be persistent and have grit and follow through. That was the idea of, wait a minute, what if, not trying to answer every question we're all, but what if we could take all that knowledge and wisdom? And this is where we're talking about disrupting things. Because what I saw, the same patterns, I had friends that, like a good friend of mine, Patricia Asp, shout out to her, phenomenal entrepreneur. And she worked at the, at one point, the most admired company in the world. It was a Service Masters. It was about 15, 20 years ago. But she created this process where she could walk into any business, ask questions, and turn around companies in like 90 days. I mean, VCs were all over. And the whole idea was that you can codify wisdom. Because, and it's not throwing a bunch of metrics and analytics. So you'll overwhelm people with that.
So how do you do that? How do you do that? You know, we're talking about codifying wisdom, and you know, I I'm hearing what you're saying. There's these blueprints, like we talk about all the time. Success leaves clues. So we've got the things that we know that are successful that work, and then we also have the pitfalls, the mistakes, and how do we avoid those? Right. So how are you collecting that through data analytics, and how are you using AI? Like, talk to me about that. The technology that's backing up the system to help people codify the wisdom. I'm really interested in that.
Okay. So first of all, it's a combination of human experiences and technology and AI, because you need the both. So what we end up doing is that what I started to do 4 years ago was that I go talk to my friends, the successful entrepreneurs, and they go, Eric, I don't understand this analytics and AI stuff. And I go, whoa, put that all aside. We're gonna think about this different. I want you to treat me like I'm one of your mentees, and you walk into my business. What questions are you asking, and what questions are you trying to get answers to about that business? Now, don't overcomplicate businesses, because really there's only three types of business models on the planet. And I've been testing this. No one's ever been able to bust me on this, but either you manufacture something, you sell something that somebody else has produced, or you provide a service. That's it. And we've been able to test it. And so what happens is that we went in and said, okay, fundamentally, what questions do I need to be able to answer as a business owner every day? Don't overcomplicate this. But things like, do I have enough cash in the business? A simple question. And then what you do is you go, okay, great, I got to answer that question. Well, how do I measure that question? So there's things like days sales outstanding or days of cash. That's a metric. They can't answer that question. And then what we end up doing is then we walk it into, well, where's the data that I need to be able to answer that question? And then when you walk through that, now all of a sudden we produce standardized models for business owners that you could plug in like a diagnostic in any business. And now all of a sudden you could get answers to questions that are basics that seem like, well, I should be able to answer that. Because that's what happened to me. I was frustrated because I'd walk in and go, look, I'm scared of business, blah, blah. Do we have enough cash in the business? Can somebody tell me this? And I'll, you know, everybody be huddling around, running around. Weeks later, I'd get the report. Well, then it's too late. So we codify it. And part of this codifying creates standardized models. That's the, all this AI stuff you're hearing about, and you're hearing about training data and learning models and all that. It's all based on models. So what we've done is said, take these, you know, smart people, take all this success, build it into model and start putting data into these models. And now all of a sudden you flip the switch and you turn on, you start leveraging the predictive AI capabilities. You start leveraging, because now you've got the standardized model. Now all of a sudden the AI can come in there and start identifying patterns. So in the patterns, we'll start doing predictions. And now the more we feed into this AI for small business owners, all of a sudden you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting years of experience of people who successfully climbed the mountain that can scale. We can literally plug in this data and 24 hours later, you could be done talking and we can hook into your system. And 24 hours later, I can answer years of data about your business and things that are fundamental. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's answering.
And does it tell you, like, okay, so kind of what I'm hearing is, you know, you go through the process and it's going to show you, you know, strengths and weaknesses, deficiencies. Hey, you know, like things you're probably not even aware of. You're like, oh man, I'm really not even strong in this area. Like because a lot of times as a business owner, you're just go. And it's like, you know, you don't even realize here's this blind spot over here, man. You're about to get clipped. You know what I'm saying? So it could show you deficiencies, things like that. And then does it show you like a roadmap? Like, hey, here's this deficiency. Here's what you need. Here's what you should do based off of the years of experience. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, because love what that. Happened was, is that it's kind of like driving your car. Okay. If I have a gauge on there that says I'm about to run out of gas, like cash, you know, part of me, and this is where technology has been trying to do this. Okay, great. Analytics shows I'm running out of gas. Okay, well, thanks, Captain Obvious. If I came in there and said your business is running low on cash, great. What I need to know is what do I do about it? Okay, so this is where we plug in generative AI, because generative AI is really, at the end of the day, it's aggregating a bunch of knowledge. You can ask a question about it, and it will aggregate all that knowledge and spit it back to you in seconds of what you can
do. Is it industry specific type, like, or is it just because you know? I mean, like, I would imagine, this is just me thinking out loud here, that I would imagine that, you know, in my industry, the solution to whatever deficiency I'm running up against could potentially be different than other businesses, right? There's probably a lot of commonalities that could also occur but there's probably some things that are like unique and different
which is true. So in your deficiency, so there's horizontal problems, like every business on the planet is run on cash and you're getting revenue somehow. So there's horizontal problems and questions that everybody faces. Doesn't matter what type of business you're in. Then you start drilling down into specifics, but that's how the speed of AI and like what we're doing, we can build models hyper fast so that if we spin up a whole new industry, well, the methodology is, okay, here's what we can do. Like we built a hospital management system. Okay. I've been in the hospital and I've seen my bill. That's about all I know about it. Well, what happened was we codified. We went and talked to people with decades of experience, took all those questions and we identified common patterns, mapped the data into a model that could do that. And then we turned on the AI and started seeing patterns and data recognition. And then we coupled that with generative AI and started asking it questions about, hey, if I'm running a podcast and my subscriber base is shrinking, what do I do about it? And it spits out answers, but you got a combination of A, you got to know your subscribers are dropping. So this is where that the difference between AI and wisdom is that, as Pevin said, AI will answer whatever question you're asking it to answer. Wisdom is knowing which question I should be asking.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's a mic drop. What question should you be asking? I love that.
And AI, of course, they get rebranded. They call it prompting. So you're going to see all this training and prompting. Well, we're going back and codifying the, okay, successful people, you climb the mountain, you're going to pay it forward. What questions were you asking? What lessons did you learn? So that now we can measure it. And then when we measure it, now we can leverage the generative AI models to tell you what you can do about it. Now, I can't take the steering wheel away from it. If I can just tell you you're about to run out of gas and you're about to drive off a cliff, you know, I can at least send like a GPS warning, reroute, 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 and you're still stubborn and you're going to drive. I can't stop that. But what it can do is that you didn't even know that you're about to drive off a cliff and that here's three courses of action that you could do to steer and survive longer. You just, the whole idea is survive long enough to get to where you can hit that tipping point curve. And the time you have the wind to survive these days, years ago, like Sears, I mean, you had years to kind of stay in there and figure it out. Now, for an entrepreneur, condense that down fast, because the velocity of change in this world is happening so fast, you don't have as much time to figure it out anymore.
Like, imagine that you had unlimited time to make a business successful. You're going to make it successful. You got unlimited time, right? Like, you'll figure it out eventually, right? You'll run into pitfalls and you'll learn from it and you'll adjust and you'll pivot and you'll do what it takes and you'll eventually get there, right? But guess what? We don't have unlimited time or unlimited resources. That stuff runs out. Actually, you usually run out of resources before you run out of time, right? So it's the resource that you know, you tap, you run out of cash flow, and then all of a sudden you're bust, right? So you're it's like the hourglass, right? Like this upside down. Like you got so much time to figure it out before that thing runs out. You know, runs out of time. And so this thing helps you to say, okay, cool. Here's some pitfalls. Here's some things I'm not aware of. Here's some things that I should do that are proven, that are successful. Okay, so walk me through. I want to know, like, if I'm going to use this tool right now, if me and you hook up, Eric, and you're like, okay, cool, here it is. What does it look like? Is it something that's like, I'm just going to go through a questionnaire and answer questions, like, and it's going to boom, 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 boom. Paint that picture for me. If I'm closing my eyes, what does it look and feel like to walk through this process?
I can about make it as about as simple as I can make it for you. Literally, it's today, it, you know, 5 years ago, most businesses were running QuickBooks Desktop. Okay, so we couldn't get to the data. Now, you're the oddball company. If you're running a desktop solution, you are old school. So everything's in the cloud. So when I ask you about, I just go, Trevor, let me show you what I can do. And literally, it's okay. Here, let me sign, you know, let me send you a data privacy agreement and give me access to your system. And in 24 hours, I will come back and, like a doctor and a diagnostic, I will pull the data out, run it through our models, and I will sit down with you and tell you, hey, here's in the financial area. Hey, I bet you didn't know that your repeat business. All right, well, that's another one. Let's say your cash has been burning for the last 6 months, and it was going from days of cash from 120 days to 80. And you're dropping below 90, and you're starting to get into warning problems. I can tell you things about who your best lifetime customers are. And how much of your business is coming from a repeat customer versus, you know, one-time customers. And we do all this, and how we do it, the magic is that we pre-built all the models, because here, just to kind of, and okay, so to walk you through that. So now all of a sudden, for us, what we said, the mission for us, again, is to change the odds for business owners. Okay. So we're doing that at no charge for us, because that's our mission. So if you walk away from that and you just found out kind of like, hey, you got high cholesterol, I didn't even know it kind of thing. I was burning cash, didn't know it, I was losing customers. Great. At some point, we feel like we helped you in that mission. If all I did was change the trajectory just a little bit that you didn't know something, then we helped. But if you like it, you want to do it, then it's just a monthly subscription, and that's that easy. And then literally we're leveraging new technology where I can scale wisdom. Here's the other thing, the back end of that. And we equate this to like a cockpit of a plane, okay? Most business owners are flying like in a 1923 biplane, and myself included, okay? I was that way. Because you got about a couple of gauges, you got a stick, and then all of a sudden your visibility, what's happening in the future, is about whatever you can see in front of the plane. That's it. Okay. Now all of a sudden I drop you into a modern, you know, Boeing cockpit. I got radar systems, I've got alerts, I've got gauges, and the gauges, here's the thing, we're disrupting an entire analytics and professional service industry, because they've always trained you. And I saw so many CEOs do this. Your business is so unique that you can use our tool to build these beautiful dashboards, and you can bring in armies and consultants to build it. But half the time, remember, get back to the knowing the right question to ask. You're contained to that knowledge of whatever your management team is, and you're guessing. All of a sudden now, on the opposite end, we pre-built. You don't get pilots in a cockpit of a plane and have a customized cockpit in every plane to get in. There's a reason why they're successful and get airborne. And that, well, you still need, all of a sudden we drop you in, the CEOs, you still need that mentor. You still need that flight instructor, but we just made you more effective, because now you can talk about, you don't have to sift through all the data, all the alerts. So what happens is we plug you in, you see all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like this constant guidance system that's monitoring and predicting. We've got AI predictions of going, hey, based on where you're at right now, we're predicting in 9 months that you're going to have liquidity problems. Or we can predict, the AI can predict not only where you're at now, but where you're headed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, I love what you're talking about. So somebody needs to have like a Salesforce or some data like backed up online that you can plug into.
Yeah, right? That's a whole caveat to everything, is that for us to move so quickly, you've got to be in an online system. And it doesn't matter. It can be QuickBooks, it can be Xero, it can be NetSuite. It's a cloud-based system. Because then we don't have to bug you. As a CEO, I don't have to bug you and say, hey, can you send this and send us that? It's literally just give us access. We'll sign all the data privacy. Very, you know, very sensitive to that.
Yeah, that, okay. Well, let's talk about that. Hold on. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. So that is sensitive, right? Customer data and all that kind of stuff, right? Privacy. So where have you run into some roadblocks with that? Is there any industry specifically, or like, I'll give you an example. I know with like the medical, you had mentioned medical hospitals, things like that. You know, they got HIPAA laws and all da 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 da. Right. So, like, are there any places that just don't work for you because they're just so tight with their data?
Well, and there's a couple of things we don't want to get into some of that. So anything to do with down to a person or the credit card, we don't want any of that. We don't connect to it. We don't get to it. Like HIPAA. We don't do any of that, because what we're doing is that we're staying at a higher level. So I'm going to send you an alert that something's happening with your customers. Then it's up to you to go into your sensitive information and drill down that. But I just let you know, hey, this is a pattern that's happening across a big pattern. This is happening, and here's three or four things you can do about it. Now you work with your sensitive information, because I want to help people, and I love helping people, but I don't want to get into their sensitive information. The other stuff that we do is that our guys, to be not bragging our team too much, but we've been in AI before it was cool. We've been doing it a long time. And The other thing too, we anonymize anything we're doing for market trends or AI purposes. So people get worried about us going out in the cloud. A, we put things in our own private environment and we anonymize everything. You cannot identify. So it's just looking for market trends and patterns. And actually in our system, you can't even, it's just got a 001 code. You don't even know what it is. So we're very sensitive to the data privacy, but the benefit of that is now instead of you having to learn the lessons on your own, or you know, one head is better, you know, three heads are better than one. Well, how about you learn the lesson of 1,000 heads?
I want to hook up, man, Eric. I want to hook up to your system. Okay, you need to, you know, plug in to my CRM. You know what I'm saying? Let's figure out where I'm deficient. Okay, listen, I think I know a lot of things, but I know enough to know that I don't know what I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and if we're just, you know, we're on this little renegade band of entrepreneurs just trying to help other ones. So if we set this vision of trying to help 1 million people in communities by changing the odds for 10,000 companies, well, you know how you do that? One company at a time.
100%. You want to know why? Because let me tell you why. Because I am, this is just in my spirit, okay? I'm like one of those people that when something's good for me or helps me, you know, I want to tell everybody about it. So I'm going to be your biggest advocate, you know, your biggest cheerleader out there, because I'm going to be like, man, I got with Eric and he showed me this blind spot I wasn't aware of. And look now where we're at. Look at what we're doing now. It's all because of, you know, Eric's system and da, 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 right? And I'll be sending everybody your way, you know, that. And I think other businesses will do the same thing. They're going to speak, you know, speak your praises.
Well, A, thank you so much for that. And you can tell that myself, my co-founders, they actually have, like my co-founders have been in that AI big data and data scientists cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the technology. So our heart was, hey, listen, let's disrupt this and make it affordable. Make it where in some cases it may be $200-$300 a month for a small business owner. Because if we can do all this cool stuff and I can give you all this analytics and AI, that's me no good. If we're going to charge you $5,000 a month, because small business owners to build and do the stuff that we're talking about, no kidding, it is probably $250,000 just to ante and get started. But there's no reason.
Isn't that amazing? I do have to say this. It's so amazing with technology nowadays, right? And you know, everything people learn from Netflix with the subscription model is just, I think it's a better model. And so, you know, like, okay, let's just use ChatGPT for an example, okay? Think about how much money it saves you, right? It like, okay, the subscription on there, the subscription fee compared to hiring copywriters and da-da-da-da-da, like the unlimited use cases for what the tool could actually do, right? Like if you use it, it saves you gazillions. It's making you money. It's not Absolutely. Costing you money.
That's,
you know what I mean?
And it's that whole, remember I was telling you about the fundamental business models? Well, part of the 4 years of prototyping and testing, this concept, okay, professional services. Okay, end of the day, whether you go into engineer, architectural, or CPA or law firm, you're fundamentally paying them for their expertise to do a service for you so you can get further faster because they have experience and it's, hey, I'd rather pay you couple hundred dollars because I can get there faster than me paying $1,000 in mistakes. So answering the fundamental questions of an engineering firm. Hey, what's my average billing rate? How utilized is my team? Who's our biggest clients? Where do we have exposure from services? We took that concept and we plugged it into an engineering firm. And we said, well, wait a minute. What if we could do the same thing? Could we take this same and plug it into a law firm? Are they looking to answer the same fundamental questions? And you know what? They have the same questions. They call them matters. Well, we found there's some terminology differences. You know, they don't call them projects, they call them matters. But at the end of the day, same model. So when people say, how are you gonna scale this? How can you guys afford to totally disrupt a multi-billion dollar analytics and consulting space? because there's no reason to have to repeat. We can build a model and plug it in. And we're not going to answer every question, but AI will uncover that. But you kind of see that that's how we can change the odds for business owners, because there's just no reason for you. I can tell you, I'll give you one example if I could go back in time. Okay. For the tech company we sold, we showed up at a trade show, put our little shingle out. We thought, okay, we got trained to, hey, how do you get to thousands of consumers and buyers? You go to a trade show and you spend $10,000 for your little booth, and then you give away little tchotchkes and people walk by, away you go. Okay. We show up there and we get some tchotchkes away, and we sold some products. We go, aha, this is our go-to-market strategy. Okay. Now, fast forward millions of dollars later, and unbeknownst to me, somebody came along and said, hey, are you tracking customer acquisition cost? I was like, no, what are you talking about? We go to trade shows and you know, all we gotta do is sell 10 customers and we break even on the show. And I go, what do you do? And they go, yeah, you gotta take all your marketing spend and see how much it costs. When I did that, I went, holy crap, we're spending way too much money. And I wish somebody would have told me. So that was the genesis of, holy crap, we just wasted all this money and time. It was still, we still did well, but I wish I would have known. I wish, as a small business owner, and it's not saying that you're not going to create your own lessons, but here's the idea of this community that we're building. We learn from each other. It only gets smarter. So like every company that we've plugged into, we learn a little bit there. And we say, the only thing we ask is that, hey, give us the ability, you know, it's kind of leave a penny, take a penny kind of concept. Hey, if you're going to share and you're going to be part of this changing the odds, is what we call it. Hey, if you're going to change the odds for yourself, hey, we got to allow us to take some of that knowledge so we can code it to help other people. So the people that we're asking to be part of this has got to have this concept of sharing, because it, you know, I help, then I'm going to help somebody else. And then guess
it's
what?
We're going to pay it forward.
Years.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. It's the pay it forward, the pay it forward. I love that. And I want you to think about this, even if you're not a business owner. Okay. The principles that he's talking about, they apply. They apply to you in your career. They apply to you in your overall life. You know, it's just about learning from other people's mistakes. You know, it's the same concept. I went to 10X Growth Con last year, and they had 10X Health Systems. And they basically, they look at your genetic code and they find those deficiencies, right, in your genetic code, so that you're not, you know, plugging in, trying to take supplements for the wrong things or taking pills to solve the wrong issues to da-da-da-da-da. Like, you have a genetic code and there's a specific deficiency. And if we just fill in that gap, okay, with whatever it is that's missing, it solves so many other issues, right? And so, I think this is true what we're talking about here in life in general, right? If you have a gap in your life, you know, in your health, in your relationships, in your business, in your career, right? If you can get a mentor, someone who's been there, done that, who's overcome that gap, right? Who can even sometimes the mentor can show you that gap that you didn't know was even there, and to give you the warnings to say, hey, listen, man. Like, where you're headed right now, you're going to crash and burn if you don't change your ways. Right. And, you know, and that's true leadership, right? True leadership is helping people in that way. So I really appreciate what you do, Eric. I think it's amazing. And the fact that you're using technology to help and that you can just plug in the system and it's going to spit out a roadmap for somebody is amazing. So I definitely want to connect with you offline. And what I would like to do right now is, if it's okay with you, I'd like to go to the audience to see if they have any questions for you for just a couple minutes before we wrap it up. But for those that are watching online on Instagram and on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube, I am going to say goodbye. We appreciate you guys. That is the show. It's all about who you know. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about Who You Know.